But this time we have the privilege to open God's Word. So if you would please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We will be doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And I will be reading verses 13 to verse 26, the end of the chapter, to give us some context. Let us now hear God's word. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who walk like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we do a lot of flipping this evening through the scriptures, and as we look into the fruit of the Spirit very closely here. But dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the nine virtues listed by the Apostle Paul, love is numero uno, one, number one. It is first because, as Jesus and the apostles say, it is the greatest. It's even greater than the gifts of the Spirit. We can only think of 1 Corinthians 13. In the New Testament, love, or agape, is used about 116 times, and the Apostle Paul uses it about 75 of those 116 times. Now, I will spare you from getting finger cramps this evening or wrist injuries by flipping through all these references, but we are going to do a bit of flipping because it's important to unpack what the Bible teaches about biblical godly love. Love is one of the fruits, singular, of the Spirit, by which the other eight virtues fall quickly behind or in place. These eight virtues come as a result of love. They follow behind it. Do you desire to be joyful, peaceful, and patient under trying times? Practice love. Do you desire to walk in kindness, goodness, and faithfulness toward your neighbor? Practice love. These virtues, these eight virtues, follow behind love. Paul says at Colossians chapter 3, these words at verse 12: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's the list again. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Love knits all the other virtues together. You miss out on love, you're not going to be kind, you're not going to be gentle, You're not going to be patient. That's why love is at the seat of the human heart, through which joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness eventually flows. In this series, brothers and sisters, it is my hope and prayer by God's grace that He would develop in us a godly Christian character, a godly Christian character and a maturity that glorifies Him. That we would desire to put to death, mortify, I love that word, mortify, put to death the sinful nature that's described here and put on that new clothing, that fruit of the Spirit, so that we may walk in line with, according to the Spirit. Walk in line, or the NIV says, walk in step with the Spirit. Now the church in Galatia was not heeding the apostles' plead to love one another as God commands. In fact, if you look at chapter 5, verse 14, the apostle Paul tells them the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. You will be destroyed by one another. Anger and hatred result in destruction. It destroys not only our personal lives, but the world around us. Relationships. And in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, it causes disunity and destroys congregations. Love needs to be upheld. Love that is according to God's truth. The apostle argues that nothing good comes out of the sinful nature. Nothing. And that's why we must walk according to the fruit of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul warns the church that the sins listed in verses 19 to 21 are the works of the flesh, are sinful desires. And so he contrasts these sinful desires to the fruit of the Spirit. You have works, plural, that are in contrast to fruit, singular. What's going on here? Many evil desires arise out of our sinful nature. Many appetites or desires are at work in our sinful nature. That's why they are plural. But there is one Spirit who works in the heart of a believer. One harvest of righteousness being produced in the life of a believer. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, singular. One Spirit, one Lord, who gives life. The sinful nature destroys life, destroys everything in our path. The Spirit gives life. And the Spirit gives it abundantly when we walk according to the Spirit. Now, love is a loaded word. You know, it's probably hard to even come up with a definition of love. And so instead of giving you a definition, I want to break it down into three parts. I want to talk about the origin of love. And then I want to talk about the effects of love on the heart. And then I want to talk about the practice of love. And I pray that we will make this as practical as can be. Because love is practical. It is an action verb. So let's look at the origin of love. It's not the love. Biblical love is not the love that's already inherent in human beings. Atheist love. Most people in this world that I know of love. But that's not the love that's being talked about here. Because the love that's inherent in every human being is fallen. And we've made a mess of it. And so we've become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. That's not what Paul's talking about here when he's talking about love. See, unbelief loves self. They do not, in our sinful nature, generally speaking, we do not love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourself. Because we're lovers of self. Paul is talking about a love that is developed by the Apostle John. If you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John 4, the Apostle John has a lot to say about love. 1 John chapter 4. You have Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, and then 1st John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Drop down to verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Now I can go on and on. I could read this whole chapter. But the point is that love comes from outside of ourselves. It's not something inherent within us, but has to come from somewhere else, and it comes from God. That's the origin of godly Christian love. That is the love that Paul talks about, and that is the love that John talks about. Because it puts to death the sinful nature and the love that seeks to desire the flesh and self and changes it over to a love that desires to glorify God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But how did God first love us? You see, love is a verb. It's an action. It's in motion. God loves by giving. In fact, He's true to His own word. Let us not only love in word, but also in deed. You may have heard that spoken somewhere. It's in 1 John. God is even true to that. Because He not only spoke through His written word, but He also did it in deed when He gave His only begotten Son. God is about giving and then receiving glory for that. The sinful nature is about getting and not giving. So God gives. He showed or demonstrated His love by giving His one and only Son, John 3:16, Romans 5:8. He came to give His life as a ransom for many. John says at 1 John 3:16, if you're still there, 1 John 3:16 reads this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. It's about giving and not getting. And then at chapter 4, verse 10, this is love. John's defining Christian love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love is about giving and not getting. And God is true to His own word. This sacrificial, selfless love is the foundational fruit of the Spirit. It is supernatural. We, in our sinful nature, say these words. We ask this question, how can I serve myself? Or how about this one? How can I love so that I benefit from it? So what's your motive? What's my motive? We'll get to that later. But that's what the sinful nature wants you to say. How can I love so that I can get, gimme, 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 rather than give? Love gives. It doesn't get. Sacrificial love, a love born of God, gives for the well-being and goodwill of your fellow man, your brother and sister in Christ, and even to your enemies. Reverend Kuchen brought out that beautiful passage from Luke chapter 6. What good is it if you help your brother and sister in Christ? The pagans do that. What about your enemy? Are you going to love them? If that doesn't cut to the heart, I don't know what does. Love is that foundational fruit of the Spirit, and it is given to the believer of Jesus Christ. It's a divine activity. And if you look at it in Galatians 5, it's the Spirit's fruit. So in a sense, it's passive. You have it. You have that seed, that fruit of the Spirit in you if you're called by Christ to be His disciple. But you don't stop there. Because what does the Apostle Paul says? He gives us a command. You got it. Now walk by it. Walk by it. Because God has changed your heart. He has given you the heart of His love. He has changed that heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh for a reason. Now walk in it. Walk in step with it. And literally it's like walking a line. Walking a straight line. And that Spirit is the line. You walk in that line and you will see those other eight virtues come forth. So it's a command. Walk according to this new love you've been given. Walk. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by thinking ill or acting rudely toward your fellow brother and sister in the Lord. Christians have been given this new heart. You, if you are called by Christ, have been given this fruit of the Spirit. So God is the origin of this godly Christian love. What is the effect of this love? What do I mean by this? God has given us a new heart, a heart that seeks after Him. What is this new love, this godly love, what has it done to our hearts internally? I'm not talking about outwardly, like how we practice it. We'll get to that. But how does it change the way we think about the world around us, about ourselves? That's what I mean by the effects of this love on our hearts. God so works in our hearts so that we come to know that we are born of Him. The fruit of the Spirit brings certain effects into our hearts, and that's what we want to talk about now. And let me explain by using a few examples. The object of love changes. The object of our love. I mentioned earlier that the sinful nature desires love of self. The object of our love before we were Christians was a love for self. Well, when love came into our hearts, the object of our love changed. We have a love for God, and we have a love for our neighbor. So that effect has taken place in our hearts. If you experience that effect in your hearts, God is affirming to you that you belong to Him. The very fact that you can come here and call upon the name of the Lord in worship and praise from a true and pure heart is evidence that you belong to Him. When we study important doctrines of the Trinity, we see the love that the Father has for the Son and the Holy Spirit. Relationship. There's a relationship between the triune God. And that's another effect that takes place in our hearts. We want relationship. We want to know one another. We have a desire for unity. Lack of love, remember, destroys. It destroys fellowship. But love unifies. And so how it affects our heart is that we desire to be with God's people. The PM service shouldn't be a drag for us. It shouldn't be. Because we should have that desire for Christian fellowship. I was speaking to somebody recently who was new to the church, and she had said that, I asked her, you know, what brought her here? She's like, I wanted Christian fellowship because she's new to the area. And I said, I was thinking to myself, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that's an effect that has occurred in our hearts because of God instilling that in our hearts. Every human being has that singular desire to be in communion or relationship with someone. In the world, people are starving for relationships. In the Church of Jesus Christ, we have that relationship. We have that fellowship. We have that bond of love that has been given to us by the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I always think of that movie, Castaway, with Tom Hanks. And I think it's an interesting example of how cuckoo we can get without fellowship. We really can. You think about prisons. They call it, quote unquote, rehabilitation, but they put someone in solitary. What happens when they get out of solitary? They're madmen. We were not created to be alone. In fact, when we are alone and we live the Christian life solo, we leave more room for the devil. We leave more room for the sinful nature to take root in our lives. That's why this is the effect of love in our hearts. We desire in our very being to be with one another. Another effect of love in our hearts is our motive. That is, our motive for loving others is motivated for our love because of our love for God and His truth. We truly and deeply desire our very being to sacrificially love, to give rather than to get. Our motive. I think this is a big one here. What is your motive for loving? Men, what is your motive for loving your wife? Is it so that she can serve your beck and call? Wives, what is your motive for loving your husband? Is it so you can get what you want? We are called to love even the unlovable. Even those who do not respond the way that we would like them to respond, but we are called to love nonetheless. Because it is giving, not getting. Your motive should be one of sacrifice. And to be sure, we would love to get. But that's not what love is. The sinful nature and its motive seeks to destroy and tear down to get what it wants to please its desires. The Christian's motive for loving is to build up and to edify. Look with me at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the hearts. That is, from your very being, love sacrificially. Not expecting anything in return. You love. You love. God is in the business of changing lives, not you or me. I'm called to love. God is in the business of executing justice, not me. I'm in the business of loving my enemy. That should be my business while I'm on earth here. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We're about the business of loving sacrificially, giving and not getting. Another effect on the human heart of this fruit of the Spirit is the manner in which we carry out this love. That is, we love not only with words or tongue, but with action and truth. See, the sinful nature loves hypocrisy. It slanders people. It regards and exchanges the truth for a lie. It says one thing and does another thing. But the effect of love on the heart of a believer results in a deep desire to speak truth with love. It desires to take that truth that we know about God and go forth with it, proclaiming it with our hands, with our mouths, and with our ears, listening to the hurts of the people. Another effect of love on our hearts is our ministry to both body and soul. That means that in our very hearts that have been changed, we have this effect that's occurred by God and His grace, that we want to see people, both body and soul, built up. That's why we have mercy ministries. We don't just preach the gospel, which is absolutely essential, but we minister to their physical needs. And that effect in our heart, that passion that we have in our heart, should be overflowing to see both body and soul of believer and unbeliever alike, their needs met. Matthew 25, when I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't give me food. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. We know what the reward is for those who walk in that way. How about the soul? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul talking about his Jewish brethren. And in my studies of this past week, this really hit me between the eyes, because if we think about Paul and his ministry to the Jews and Gentiles, his ministry to the Jews was not all that good, because he got a lot of grief from them. He was persecuted by them, chased out by the religious leaders. But what does he say at chapter 10, verse 1 of Romans? Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. An effect occurred in Paul's heart because of the love of God to see his brethren saved. It's a holistic ministry, body and soul. So, we looked at the origin. Where did this godly Christian love come from? We talked about the effects of love, how this love changed our hearts and has given us this desire in our hearts to serve God and serve our neighbor. How do we practice it? How do we put feet to love? I have about 6 things. I'm sure I can come up with 20, but I'll stop at 6. How about this one? Be quick to love. Take the initiative. Don't wait till somebody loves you first and sacrificially gives to you first. Take the initiative. Find every opportunity that God gives you to express love to your fellow brother and sister in the Lord and your unbelieving friends, neighbors, whomever. Act first. Secondly, love with pure motives. People can see, read you and me when they're not coming from pure motives. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart. And he's talking about truth there. Paul says at Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. In other words, love doesn't expect something in return. So when you love, don't expect it. Praise God that he gave you the grace to love sacrificially. And put the people that you minister to in God's hands. Because again, he is the one that ultimately transforms lives. Third, love is gracious to all. Practice, brothers and sisters, what I heard from R.C. Sproul a while ago, the phrase, the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt. Practice that without being naive, of course. But we often can tend to think the worst of people when they offend us. I remember him way back when he was a little covenant youth and he used to run around the sanctuary and cause so many problems. Yeah, some of the men are smiling now. You know what I'm talking about. I remember him way back when. And now he's done this against me. It's because of all that baggage that he's brought into this relationship. Really? Do we know the whole story? Giving the benefit of the doubt is love. Why? Because we don't know the whole story. We don't know all the circumstances. Young girls in the hallways in the high school, and you have friends who can be cruel to you, and at times the first reaction is to lash out. and cause an uproar and fights? How about responding this way? You seem upset. What's going on in your life? How are you doing? I'm not justifying sinful behavior. In fact, you confront people on sinful behavior. But you want to get to the deeper issue at hand. That's what I'm saying by the benefit of the doubt. Something deeper could be going on in a person's life that is unbeknownst to us, but yet we think that they're lashing out on us. The benefit of the doubt says, we don't know, but we're going to be gracious and loving and give our ears to hear what is going on in their lives and help them be restored to God. I think that's a biggie. I think we could learn a lot from that in giving the benefit of the doubt. Which leads on to a fourth one here. Don't let the falls and offenses of others prevent you from loving. That's a tough one. Don't let the falls and offenses of others prevent you from loving. It's easier to love those who are lovable than those who are not. But we are called to love even our enemy. Fifthly, let your love shine forth because it's contagious and it adds luster to the church. Love is contagious. You want to be around those who love the Lord. You've heard the proverb, misery loves company. Well, love is contagious. And we should be around those who love because it adds luster to the church. And I'm sure many of you can bear testimony to this, that you've come to this church and you've experienced this love, this contagious love, and you found your family here. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. God's people have shown the love of Christ to you. And it was evident. Their light has shone amongst God's people here. A church is loving when they love God and His Word, His truth, as it is revealed in the Bible. There's that vertical relationship. And that they love their neighbor. Horizontal. It's a love that is upward looking and a love that is looks across the congregation and finds ways to meet the needs of those who need to be embraced by the love of God's people. Love is giving. It's not getting. Dear friends, this is biblical love. This is Christian love. You know, the Beatles sang, "All you need is love." It's a far cry from what the biblical idea of love is. It's not a secondhand emotion. Biblical love is about giving and not getting. This is the way that God defines love, and this is the way that we should emanate this foundational fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And yes, we have not done this as we ought. But our God is a God of grace. And the way we love is even in the process of our sanctification. So we are growing in love daily. But as an athlete practices every day to run that race or to finish the game well, we are to walk in step with the Spirit, practicing every day this foundational fruit of the Spirit that is called love. As Paul says in Galatians 5:6, faith works through love. This is a love that proceeds out of your faith. And I encourage us all to pray, God, oh, give me the love that you have commanded me to love with. I cannot love apart from your Spirit working in and through my life, because what I want is not what you want. I need you to work through me. Pray, Lord, help me to exercise this love. And Jesus says, by all this men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do we as a church of Jesus Christ make this our goal? Make this our goal. Love, love, love. A love that is according to the truth of God's word, and a love that seeks the well-being of our neighbor. And then as Paul says, you will then be knit together in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We'll hear the benediction soon. And it's very interesting that in the benediction we have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because the fellowship of the Holy Spirit knits us together in His love. We are one in Him. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, that all of us would desire to live according to this foundational fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is called love. And may God direct our hearts and our minds day in and day out to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege we had to break open your word and to be fed by it. Lord, we pray, O God, that you would instill in us a deeper passion to love, to be givers and not getters, to be those who sacrificially give because we have been given much in Christ. Oh, help us, God, to put to death the deeds of the flesh, for that leads to destruction, but to put on love, that foundational fruit of the Spirit that leads to the rest of the virtues: joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.